Bibles, go to the book of James, James chapter 4, if you would, and stand with me as you turn there. And thanks for the music tonight. I've enjoyed every bit of it. From the kids who sang tonight, I love hearing those kids sing. And boy, that's exciting to watch them. And then guys, I appreciate you being here and singing. James chapter 4 and verse 5. I want to read verses 5 through 10. And just going to read a few verses, so if you would read these verses aloud with me. James chapter 4, starting in verse 5 through verse 10. James chapter 4, beginning in verse 5. Do ye think that the Scripture saith in vain, the Spirit that dwelleth in us lusteth to envy, but he giveth more grace, wherefore he saith, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace unto the humble. Submit yourselves therefore to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts, ye double-minded. Be afflicted and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning and your joy to heaviness. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he shall lift you up. Dear Lord, I love you, and I thank you so much for the word of God that we get to open up this evening. I think of the verse, in the beginning was the word was with God, and the word was God. And I thank you so much for the scripture. I thank you for your son. I thank you for the relationship that we have with you through your son. I pray that that relationship would be strengthened as a result of the message tonight. We love you, and we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Text verse is verse 8, where the Lord says simply, he says, draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. You know, I'm so thankful for my relationship that I have with the Lord. If you're glad you're saved, say amen. I am especially thankful that it can't be changed. It can't be broken, if you will. You know, one of the first things you do when you have someone who trusts Christ is you try to get settled in their heart that you cannot lose your salvation, that it is a settled thing. The Bible says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have what? Everlasting life. Everlasting life begins at the moment of salvation. Amen? It begins there. One of the reasons we can't lose that relationship is because of the sonship that we have. John 1 and verse 12 says, as many as received him, to them gave he the power to become the what? Sons of God. We became a child of God. And that relationship that we have with the Lord is an unchanging relationship. You cannot change your position in Christ. Amen. You know, my sons and my daughters could grow to the age of 18 or 21, and they could walk out the door and they could say, Dad, I'm never going to see you. I'm changing my name from Han. I don't like it anymore to Johnson or whatever it is, and I'll never see you again, and I'll never want to see you again, and this relationship is over. But they could not change the fact that they are my children. It is settled. My blood runs in their veins. And I am so thankful that what we have in the Lord Jesus Christ is a settled relationship. We are kept by the power of God unto the day of redemption. It is not something that we do, that I keep, and that I keep and stay saved. It's something that God does completely for me. You know, that's illustrated in the verse in John. It says, and they shall never perish, or I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. And my God, my Father, which gave them me, is greater than all. I'm misquoting the verses, but it says, he put us in his hands, and it says, no man can pluck them out of my Father's hand. You know, this ring is held in my hand by my hand. The ring has nothing to do with keeping itself there. It's kept there completely by me. And the Bible says when you trusted Christ as your Savior, that God grabs you and you're kept completely by him. It has nothing to do with you after the point of salvation. I'm thankful for that. But fellowship is different than relationship. Am I right? I mean, you can have a relationship with the Lord that cannot be broken, but at the same time have a fellowship that is broken. I mean, you can never lose that relationship with the Lord, but the closeness that you have with the Lord, that close relationship with the Lord, man, you can put some strain on that relationship. Any married couple knows this truth. Boy, you can have a marriage in a home, but there's times when the fellowship is not. Ooh, I almost went down again. That'd be the second time since I've been here. But that here it is, the reality. I'm keeping count. How many of you were here when I fell on a Wednesday night? All right, that's what I thought. You know, it was Wednesday night, so the teens weren't in here, which I am eternally thankful. And, you know, it was like the Lord just protecting me. And then it wasn't live streamed, all right? So I will never see it again other than replaying it in my mind, all right? But any person knows, any married couple or anybody who's been in any kind of lengthy relationship knows what it means to be in a relationship, but the fellowship to be broken. And the Lord in this portion of Scripture is talking about a relationship that is solid and that is steadfast and knowing the Lord. But he says, draw nigh to God and he will draw nigh to you. He's speaking to someone whose relationship has gotten some space in it. It can't be broken because of what you have in the Lord, but your fellowship, it feels like you're far apart from the Lord. You know, if you've been saved for any length of time, you would have to admit that you know what it's like to be at a distance from the Lord. And that relationship that we have with the Lord is the most important relationship that we have in our life. I mean, it is the most important one that I have. My relationship with the Lord. I've got a lot of other relationships with family, with church members, with friends, and all of those type of things. But the most important relationship I have is with the Lord. It impacts every single other relationship that I have. It impacts all of them. And in this portion of Scripture, the Lord is saying, draw nigh to God and he'll draw nigh to you. He's speaking to this fact of how to get back and how to get close to the Lord and strengthen that relationship with the Lord. And that's really what I want to speak on tonight is for the overcomer, the one who desires to be an overcomer in this Christian life, how you strengthen that relationship with the Lord. How we draw nigh to God, and in essence, he draws nigh to us. I'm thankful as I read that verse that I have a God who wants to draw nigh to me. I was thinking of the verses this week where it talks about you're a chosen generation, and then it says a royal priesthood. You know, God is saying, I've made you a priest, a royal priesthood in this and that. You have that ability to communicate with the Lord. One of the things that makes us a Baptist is that we believe in the priesthood of the believer, that each one of us can communicate and have a direct relationship with the Lord. And I'm thankful that God desires to have that relationship with each and every one of us. Boy, he desires to speak to my heart through the Scripture. He desires to hear from me in prayer, desires to speak to my heart in prayer. God wants that relationship. And he desires that relationship. And I want to give a few things that I think draw that relationship closer to the Lord again. And the first one I believe is just this. It's agreement. It's agreement. Look at verse 5. He said, do you think that the Scripture saith in vain, the Spirit dwelleth in us lusteth the envy? Then look at verse 8 again. Draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts, ye double-minded. Be afflicted and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning and your joy to heaviness. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he shall lift you up. You know what he's saying when he's talking about cleanse your hands and purify your hearts? In essence, he's saying this. Would you get in agreement with me? Could the two of us walk together in unity? Could we walk together? Could we be in agreement? Could we be on the same page? Well, how important that is in a marriage relationship. I remember shortly after my wife and I got married, we were living in Terre Haute. I was associate pastor at Bible Baptist Church in Terre Haute, and Hannah was teaching in the school, and I was teaching Bible in the school, but I was mainly on staff in the church. And we came home one day, and we were sitting watching a college basketball game. It was Purdue versus the Connecticut Huskies, all right, Brother Farnsworth? Yeah, not so much, all right. But it was Purdue versus the Connecticut Huskies, and I was cheering for Purdue, not that I had any specific attachment to it, but it was an Indiana team, all right, so I was cheering for the Indiana team, and my wife all of a sudden started cheering for the Connecticut Huskies. I'm like, what are you doing? You can't cheer for the Connecticut Huskies. I said, why are you cheering for the Connecticut Huskies? And she said, well, they have the same mascot as our school. And I said, what? You're doing it because they have a dog on their uniform? All right, that's what we're talking about here? And she started cheering for the Connecticut Huskies. I said, look, we can't do this, Hannah. We cannot be in the same room cheering for two separate teams, all right? That's strenuous on a marriage relationship. Anybody knows this. And, you know, so we started all those Auburn, any divided houses, Auburn, Georgia, anybody, do we have any? Like, it's strenuous, isn't it, you know? And, you know, so there we are, we're relaxing, and we're watching the ball game. I said, look, babe, if you can't do this, I'm gonna have to pick you up, put you outside on the outside. That's just what I'm going to have to do. And she kept pushing me, so I picked her up, and I carried her out and set her out on the porch and closed the door and locked the door. And there she is, you know, not good for a marriage relationship either. Brother Sears, I would not recommend that. You've probably figured that one out already. And, you know, looking back, I have a lot more wisdom, all right, than that. But, she pounded on the door, and she pounded on the door, and finally, you know, I let her in when the police started coming. Okay, no, I'm teasing. And, but, you know, we had to be, you know, jokingly in a similar, and it's just a joking instance, but in agreement, if you will, or there's a problem. How much more important in our relationship with God that we be in agreement with the Lord? That we are on the same page, especially when it's concerning sin. He says, cleanse your hands. That's the outward. And it purify your heart. He's saying, make sure the inward part of your life is right. And make sure the exterior part of your life. There's a purifying of the heart and there's a cleansing of the hands. A washing of the hands. We live in a day and age when people think the washing of the hands when it comes to spiritual aspects are not important. It's about the purifying of the heart. You know, I don't know about you, but when you go to the hospital and you walk around the hospital, you know, there's all these little stations of that little hand sanitizer. And I have a phobia, so I'd wash my hands about 5 times when I'm in the hospital. I figure I go there so much, if I don't wash my hands, I'm coming out sick sooner or later, all right? It's an outward action that impacts our overall health at times. And the Lord says, cleanse your hands. He said, take a look at what you do in life and examine it in light of the Word of God. Take a look at your heart and examine it in the light of the Word of God. And when you find something wrong, confess it, acknowledge it, be in agreement with me and change it. Be in agreement with me. I think of this, you know, and you say, how do I find, get in agreement with the Lord? Well, here's one way, search the Scripture. You know, when my wife and I started dating, I started doing everything I could to get to know her better. I spent time with her. We wrote letters a little bit. It was a little bit of distance there, but we would write each other notes. We would spend time on the phone, and I did everything that I could to get to know her. I have still found out there's still more to learn, all right? And sometimes it seems to be changing from time to time, all right? It's just like, I don't know what just happened here, all right? But I seek to know her and get to know her so I know what pleases her, makes her happy, and what does not. Can I tell you, you want to draw nigh to God? Search the Scriptures and find out who He is. I like it, 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 18, where the Lord said, but grow in grace and in the what? The knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. When's the last time you learned something new about the Lord? Something new from the Word. I'm not talking about a new crazy doctrine, all right? But you grew in your relationship with the Lord. Where you learned something from the Scripture, where you studied a portion maybe you were unfamiliar with or left you with a puzzle on your face, or you looked at the Scripture and you compared it to the Word of God. When did we stop desiring to know the Lord better? To know the Lord better. If you're going to be in agreement with somebody, you must know them. And you must determine in your life that I am going to get to know them better. And if I want to draw near to God, then I better learn something. I better learn about Him. It's one of the things that makes this place so important. Bible calls the church the pillar and the ground of what? Truth. Tells us He gives some pastors and teachers and evangelists, you know, that to teach us and instruct us in our life. It's a place that we come to grow in our relationship with the Lord. And Sunday school classes, Sunday morning services, Sunday night services, Wednesday night services, it's where we come to grow. But our growth shouldn't just happen on Sundays and service times. It ought to happen in our personal walk with the Lord. Hey, young people, when was the last time you said, what does God have to say about this, not how do I feel about it? We live in the day of feeling. This world thinks the absolute truth is how you feel about something. Man, there's been a lot of people end up in a lot of hurt because they pursued what they felt like pursuing. Matter of fact, Scripture tells me the heart is desperately wicked. It'll trick me every time. The thing that I have as steady is the Scripture. Look, there's times in our life, I believe, when we feel there's a distance between us and the Lord. Now, I tell you what, the key to that is to go back and search what God has to say and then find ourselves in agreement with it and to align our life with it. Genesis chapter 6 and verse 3, I love that chapter about Noah. And one of the reasons I love it, it's the first time the word grace is found in Scripture. And it said about Noah, and Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. But the Lord describes man at that time in Genesis chapter 6 and verse 3. It says, "And the Lord said, my spirit shall not always strive with man, for that he also is flesh, yet his days shall be 120 years. That word, my spirit shall not always strive with man, it doesn't mean to be at odds with. It means to strive together or to sail alongside, to be headed in the same direction, down the same path, going in the exact same way as the Lord. And the Lord said, my spirit shall not always strive with man. He looked at man and he said, they're going wrong. Boy, that's our culture today, isn't it? There's some verses in Isaiah that talks about when they call good evil and evil good. The world's upside down, and we ought to live right side up in an upside down world. But here it is. God said, align your life with the Word of God. Find out what God's Word has to say about it and just follow it. You know, you say, my relationship with the Lord feels a little distant. Go back to the Scripture. See, preacher, it's been a while since I've gotten anything out of it. Stay in it. You know, read the end of, I think it's the Gospel of Luke, but when those two disciples walking along the road and the Lord comes along and he begins to teach them the things of the Scripture, beginning in the Old Testament, things of Moses, and teaches them. And as the Lord spoke with them, it said, finally, their heart burned within them. And when's the last time you said, I'm going to get in the Word of God. I'm going to spend some extra time. I'm going to stay here till my heart burns. Not the wrong kind of heartburn you get about 2 o'clock in the morning, all right? But I'm going to stay until I get something from the Lord. Find yourself in agreement. How about this? Give attendance. Attendance. The Bible says this in Ephesians. Go ahead and turn to Ephesians, would you? Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 22 through verse 24. It says this. Verse 22, and it says, that ye put off, you ought to circle the two words, put off, that ye put off concerning the former conversation, the old man, which is corrupt according to deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that ye, here's another two words to circle, and that ye put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. The Bible teaches over and over again, speaks in several of the, I think it's Colossians again, where it talks about that principle of putting off and putting on. Putting off the old man and putting on the new man. In other words, there ought to be a change in me. There ought to be a difference in who I am since the day that I trusted Christ. I ought to be putting off some of that things that old flesh desires and putting on the things of the new man, a new nature. Hey, probably the best illustration we have of this is when a person goes from being single to married, right? How many of you would testify that there were some things you put off when you got married? Some things that changed. My grandpa used to say, when I was single, my pockets would jingle. Do you remember the rest of that poem, brother? He doesn't remember on the spot. But when I was single, you know, I liked the silent paper, but nevertheless. But and there were some things that you put off concerning your life was very different. And then there were some things all of a sudden that you put on. In other words, you gave attendance to the things that pleased a certain person and met for your home, and you left off paying attendance to other things in your life. You gave specific attention to the things. And you want to draw nigh to God? Here it is. Give attendance to the things that please Him. Give attendance to the things that please Him. Hebrews chapter 12 says, wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us. You know, the weight is not necessarily the wrong, but the things that keep me from giving attendance to the things of God. You know, if I did everything the way I did when I was single, I would be very unsuccessful in my marriage. Very, very much. And if I in my Christian life give attendance to all the things and live for all the things maybe I did before I was saved, then I'm going to be in trouble in my spiritual life with the Lord. Or let's just do it this way. Maybe they're not even wrong things, but they're earthly things. You know, one of the best ways to stay away from doing wrong is to get caught up doing right. You know, we live in a time frame when people will say, hey, preacher, tell me what's wrong with it. Don't worry about the things that you can't figure out whether it's right or wrong. Worry about the things that you know definitely is right and focus on those things. Amen. Consume your time with what you know to be right. Can I tell you something? I know it's right to be here tonight in church on a Sunday night with God's people. So why would I debate whether I should be in church on Sunday or not? See? Now, I might go out there and be all right, but then again, I might not. Hey, I know it's right to share the gospel of Jesus Christ with someone. Am I right? And I know it pleases my Lord. So why not get caught up sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ? Here it is. We're constantly looking for the gray. I don't want to go out after the world and pursue it, but I don't want to do all these things. Boy, that serving the Lord all the time over here, man, that's work. So can we find this middle ground where I can step over into doing something wholehearted for the Lord and then step back sometime in some nice gray spot? No. Matter of fact, the Lord calls that lukewarm. He spews it out of his mouth. Can I tell you, if I feel strain, you know, in my marriage, you know what I know what I can do? I can begin to give attendance. Number one, you know, find that agreement area where we agree. And that's why it's important to marry someone you're on the same page with. Amen. But then I can find myself beginning to give attendance to the things that I know my wife loves and cares about. For some reason, she likes to get a pedicure. You know, I don't really want someone messing with my feet, all right? Please don't do that, all right? She likes to get her nails done. I think, man, can't you do that at home? I mean, I like the way it looks, all right? So, yeah. But, you know, there's been times when I know she's having a rough time, and I've come home and I've said, okay, I'll watch the kids. You go get your manicure and your pedicure. Now, you can't do that all the time. That gets awful expensive, all right? Man, I just clip my fingernails. That's cheap. Buy a pair of clippers one time, you're done. I mean, right. But here it is. But I begin to, if you will, give attendance to the things that I know she loves and enjoys. And you know what? It sure makes the relationship better. It doesn't even have to be the big things. It can be the in and out things, the day to day. Making sure I told her I loved her before I left the house. Jacqueline likes to be the last one to give me a hug and kiss. She's a daddy's girl. Matter of fact, Hannah asked her the other day, she goes, are you a daddy's? Jacqueline went up to her and gave her a kiss on her cheek, you know, just unasked for. And then Audrey thought she had her, and she goes, whose girl are you? She goes, daddy's. And, you know, just told her that. And, you know, and Jacqueline likes to be the last. And, you know, I made a habit of saying, nope, mama's last before I walk out the door. And, you know, and I don't know if it makes a big deal or not, but what I'm saying is you're the most important person in my life. I want you to know day in and day out, and outside of the Lord, that goes unsaid, you're the most important person in my life. Can I ask you, do you give attendance to the things of the Lord? Your walk with God? Lord, I'm here. I know it's just Monday, or just Tuesday, it's not Sunday, I mean, I'm not here all day, but I'm here for you. I want to hear from you. What do you got to say? My prayer life. Lord, I'm here. I'd sure like to hear from you today. I've got some things I want to bring before you. And not only do I want to bring my request before you, but can I just take some time to praise you for who you are and what you've done in my life? Well, I love the choir special this morning. I always love it when they sing it. I will remember. Lord, can I spend a minute and just remember? Just remember the goodness of God in my life. I want to give attendance to those things. Hey, can I tell somebody about the Lord? Can I tell you this? I do tell people, Lord, I don't want them to go to hell. I want them to go to heaven. But, you know, I have found this. My greatest reasoning for sharing the gospel isn't just to save somebody that's out of hell, because it's one of the best ways that I can ever tell the Lord I love you. If I never get to win another person to Christ, the fruit dries up. It no longer works. And some people say, it doesn't work anymore, preacher. Let's just stop. Why would I ever quit using one of the greatest means I have to tell my Lord, I love you? He said, as the Father has sent me, so send I what? You. If Vacation Bible School doesn't reach a single soul for Christ, and I believe that it will, and not a flyer that we passed out goes anywhere. I know that I told my Lord, I love you, I love you, I love you, I love you. Give attendance to the things of the Lord. It's when I say, okay, Lord, where have I varied from agreement with you? I want to step back into agreement. Lord, I want to be in agreement, but I not only do I want to be in agreement, but I want to give attendance to the things of the Lord. I want to pay attention to the things that please you in my life. That's a time thing, by the way. How many times we've heard someone say love is spelled T-I-M-E? Goes for the Lord too. That's why there comes a need to lay off every weight that does so easily beset us. If I'm too busy to pay attention to the things the Lord loves, then I am too busy. I'm too busy. If I were to tell you I'm too busy to pay attention to my family, you would say, preacher, you better take some time. Would you not? Better hold up. You better change some priorities. You better drop some things. Christian, if you're too busy to give attendance to the things of the Lord, you better reevaluate your life. There's something, if you can't share the gospel because you're too busy, there's some things you should change. If you're too busy to walk with the Lord, then there's some things you should change. If you're too busy to give attendance to the things of God, then there are some things to lay off because you are missing the most important things. You are missing the most important things. You can be successful in earthly pursuits, but a failure in the eternal. The rich young ruler, a perfect example of that. He was rich and he was wealthy and he was successful in terms of the world. But in terms of the spiritual, he was bankrupt. Look, pursue. You say, there's space between me and God. Here's something. Get back in agreement. Seek where you're out of agreement and get back to an agreement with him. You know, in a marriage relationship, there's some give and take in those things, isn't there? But when it comes to our relationship with the Lord, he already settled his word. It's just me getting in agreement with him. It's not me saying, God, can you see it my way? And he looks down at me and says, Seth, I'm the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. I've seen it from beginning to end. You better just see it my way. You better just fall in line with me. Get in agreement with God. Give attendance to the things of God. And here it is. Here's this one, an allowance. Give allowance. And this in terms of finances. You say, preacher, are you going to speak on giving? Well, just a little bit, but only because it has to do a lot with your relationship with the Lord. Malachi 3, verses 8 through 11 says, will a man rob God? Yet ye have robbed me. But ye say, wherein have we robbed thee? In tithes and offerings. Ye are cursed with a curse, for ye have robbed me, even this whole nation. Bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in mine house, and prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open you the windows of heaven, and pour you out a blessing, that there shall not be room enough to receive it. And I will rebuke the devourer for your sake, and he shall not destroy the fruits of your ground, neither shall the vine cast her fruit before time in the field, saith the Lord of hosts. Give. See, you're a preacher, you're just preaching that because you need, you know, good offerings. So we've had some good offerings, believe it or not, especially when it comes to the building fund. But I'm speaking about your relationship with the Lord. And I will tell you this, your giving has a direct impact on your relationship with the Lord. Where your treasure is, there will your what be also? Your heart. Can you imagine me coming home one day and, you know, my wife and I agreed, you know, early in our marriage, she doesn't necessarily work. I don't have a problem with a lady working, but she does. And it was going to go contrary to what we were doing in ministry together, all right? Can you imagine me coming home one day and say, hey, babe, I am. And she goes and I reach in her purse and I take her check card and she goes to go grocery shopping and she can't buy anything. She goes to the store and can't get anything. And then maybe she looks at me and says, well, I just decided, you know, the things that I do, I'm not doing either. I'm not going to fix dinner or breakfast for the kids. You know, man, look at me. I whittle away to nothing, all right? Can you imagine either one of us in terms of what we do just looking at the other? And, you know, my wife depends on me and I depend on her. And both of us looked at each other and said, hands up, we're done. And then to walk in and say, what a wonderful relationship we have. You would say, no, you don't. And I would have to be in agreement with you. You know that verse there in Malachi, the Lord saying that we're to give that there would be meat in mine house. It's God's means. The tithe is God's means of providing for his work. Now, he can do it anyway, but our giving is the means that God intended to use for his work. My son asked me today, he goes, Dad, how do we give to the Lord? And I was trying to explain to him, you know, how we give to the church and choose for his honor and glory. And you can tell his old mind is just wrapping around. That's a lot to wrap around, his mind to wrap around. But can you imagine, you know, the hindrance a ministry would have without God's people giving? And, you know, your relationship with the Lord will be hindered if you don't give as God would have you to give. Matter of fact, the Lord said in 2 Corinthians chapter 9, it says, the Lord loveth a what type of giver? A cheerful giver. You want God to draw nigh near to you? Be a cheerful giver. Be a cheerful giver. People often said, preacher, I don't see a tithe. A tithe is just the law. No, it was actually before the law. Oh, Abraham did it. Jacob did it. By the way, the law, when it came to right and wrong, only confirmed it. It was confirming what was already right and wrong, putting it in black and white so that you would know whether you were a sinner or not, based upon whether you lived up to it or not. And God and Christ even officiated, he said, don't leave that undone. He said, don't forget mercy and justice, but don't leave that undone. The reality is this in my life, and I believe this for every Christian. If you're not giving as God would have you to give, your relationship with him would be hurt. And I'm not just preaching that just for electric bills and lights and the cause of the gospel. I'm just going to say straight down to your personal relationship with the Lord. It cannot be what it should be if you're not giving. God doesn't have your heart if he doesn't have your pocketbook. Where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. There comes a time in my life when I have to ask myself, am I giving in a way that pleases God? From a tithe to an offering, you know, giving a tithe is what God expects. An offering is my big I love you, Lord. My I love you. It's obedience to the tithe, but an offering is I love you. You know, here it is. If you feel a space between you and the Lord, get in agreement with him. Give attendance to the things. Look at your honest to goodness, look at your giving. Not from the standpoint of this side of the pastor looking at trying to operate a church for his honor and glory. And Lord, this church is a generous church, all right? But what I'm saying is from your own personal walk, where do you want to be with the Lord? Where do you want to be, Lord? You want to be here or you want to be here? If I came home one day and told my wife I'm not caring anymore about the things of the house, whether there's clothes on the kids' back, whether there's food in the kitchen, whether the electric bill's paid, whether all those things are done, I'm hands off. And she looked at me and said, you know, I'm not going to be concerned with all the things I do either. What a horrible home life. What a horrible relationship we would have with the Lord when we look up at the Lord and said, Lord, you know, I'm not concerned about whether there's gospel tracts printed, whether electric bills run, whether the ministry of God works, because I'm not going to give. Lord, about eternity, you said lay up treasures in heaven, and I'm really not concerned about those treasures in heaven. My personal relationship with the Lord is not only being in agreement, not only giving attendance, but also giving that allowance, giving those things that God asks of me. How about the last one, I'm finished, is my affection. Revelations 2, 1 through 5, you're familiar with the scripture, you know right where I'm going. Unto the angel of the church at Ephesus write, these things saith he that holdeth the seven stars in his right hand, who walketh in the midst of the seven golden candlesticks. I know thy works, and thy labor, and thy patience, and how thou canst not bear them which are evil, and thou hast tried them which say they are apostles and are not, and hast found them liars, and hast borne, hast patience, and for my name's sake hast labored, and hast not fainted. Nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee, because thou hast left thy first love. Remember, therefore, from whence thou art fallen, and repent, and do the first works, or else I will come unto thee quickly, and remove thy candlestick out of his place, except thou repent. He said, you've left off your first love, our affection, our love for the Lord. Hey, how about in a marriage, how important that is? To stay in love with your spouse. Are you still in love with the Lord? Those kids that sang tonight, and I could stand up there and could sing with them. I'm glad I missed out. I grew up in church my entire life. Man, I grew up around the Word of God, heard it taught in my ear since the time I entered into this world, at home and in church, and was taught standards and convictions, and not only standards and convictions, but the why of the standards and conviction. Grew up in the ministry and grew up around that, and I'm so thankful that I missed out. But I think of that church at Ephesus, and this is my real burden when it comes to those churches there, is their labor, their doctrine. They stood what was for right. They stood on the doctrine. They stood for what was right. They labored for the Lord, but they left their first love. I'm afraid that if I'm not careful, my labor will keep going for the Lord. My stand in truth and right will stand on the truth of the things that are right, but somewhere along the line, I will lose my love. You know what it's like to fall out of love with something? To work at something and then show up one day and say, why don't I enjoy this anymore? Why don't I love doing this anymore? What's happened? And the world's philosophy is to quit at that point because it's all about emotion. But I am not to quit. I'm to fall back in love with. Do you know how many vacation Bible schools I've been a part of? I'm 39 years old, so 39 summers. Now, some of them I worked in, obviously, and some of them I was a part of, but my whole life. How many times I've got to drive a bus for a visitation? You know how many doors I've knocked on? I really don't know either. How many times I've shared the gospel? How many Sunday school lessons I've taught? How many, don't do it much anymore, but how many toilets I've cleaned in church? How many things I've done for the Lord? How many? I don't want to lose my love for doing those things for the Lord. I've only been married, you know, it was 10 years. Brother, 67 years. I don't want to come to the place where I do what a husband does and a father does, but I don't look across the room and see my wife walk in the door and say, man, I love that lady. I love that lady. Can I tell you, there's a verse in Matthew chapter 24. It talks about the end days. It's on my notes. But it says, talks about the end times. It says, because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. I have found this. Oftentimes when I fall out of love with something, it's because I fell in love with something else. When I fell out of love with one thing, it's because I fell in love with something else. When my service for the Lord wasn't what it should be, it's because I fell in love with something that was pulling me away from it. I thoroughly enjoy sports, and our country is wrapped up in sports. But I will say this. There's a lot of families that don't serve the Lord because they're in love with sports. They would never say it, but their actions prove it. And I'm all for sports. I'm for enjoying sports. I'm for the character that it can help instill, but the reality is this. If you're in pursuit of that over an attendance to the things of God, then you're in love with the wrong thing. I think of this for my children as they grow up and as they grow older. When they leave my house, if they're going to continue to serve God, it's going to be because they're in love with the Lord. I watch, even at my children's young age, what things they love doing. And I'm watching. What are they doing? And you know, there's some times in my life when I say, yeah, too much TV, it's off. They say, well, they're not watching anything bad, are they? No, but they're enjoying it too much, overdoing the other things that they need to do in their life. You know, what has replaced my love for serving Jesus? What is it? Can I encourage you? You say, preacher, there's nothing wrong with it. There may be nothing wrong with it except for the fact that you love it more than him. What would you tell me if I told you, man, I love my wife, but there's this other lady that I love a little bit more? First thing you'd say is, preacher, get out of here. Second thing you'd say is, you got a problem. What if I said, I love doing these certain things, but they keep me, man, I just can't spend time with my wife and my family anymore because I got all these things over here I love doing. Or I can't serve God anymore because I'm wrapped up in these things over here. I love doing these things. You'd say, preacher, abandon ship on that. Usually, when we've fallen out of love with something, it's because we've fallen in love with something else. Sometimes it's ourselves. We're back in love with ourselves. Or sometimes grabbing a hold of bitterness. We've grown bitter over something we've experienced. And maybe the wrong wording, but we're in love with our own bitterness. We'd rather be miserable. You ever see people who are not happy unless they're miserable? You know what I mean? And they're not happy unless they're miserable. They can't let go of something that happened in the past. They're locked up in it. They're stuck with it, and they won't let go of it and fall back in love with just serving Jesus right where they're at. They've grabbed hold of something else. Usually, when we're falling out of love with Jesus, it's because we've grabbed hold of something else in our life. And we need to come back to that place where we say, you know what? I don't want to leave off my first love. I don't want to lose it. I don't want to come to the place where we can sing a song, as the choir can sing a song, we will remember, and I don't go back to Madera Baptist Church on a Wednesday night as my dad's preaching out of 1 John, and I walk down the aisle and I trust Christ as my Savior, and I'm excited about it. I don't want to come to the place where I don't remember that first time I led someone to Christ on Erie Court in Cincinnati, Ohio, and my dad turned around, he was witnessing, he said, Seth, there's two boys, take that wordless book I showed you, go wish, share the gospel with that person. And I don't remember that and love that. That I don't open my New Testament and say, let me show you how you can know Christ and have the privileges. I don't want to come to the point where I'm no longer in love with that because the person that I'm in love with, and that's Jesus, our affection. Draw nigh to God and he'll draw nigh to you. Here's God. He wants to be near me. You say, prove it. He already did at Calvary. He already did at Calvary. He said, I want a relationship with you. I want you to have heaven. He says this. Would you? And here it is. When that relationship goes distance, just say, hold up a second. I could look at this. When my relationship with my wife goes distance, I could say, hold up a second. Where are we out of agreement? We started this calorie counting thing. I saw a meme the other day. It said, it looks this guy looking a little upset, and he looks at the food, and he says, someone made a mistake. You brought me the food that my food eats. All right? All right? And I could come to that place and say, what happened, lady? We're in disagreement on what we're eating, all right? No. But we didn't come to that place where I'm out of agreement in my marriage. I can simply say, what happened here? Where are we in disagreement? I can go back to it. Maybe I'm giving attendance to the wrong thing. Something else has got my attention rather than the people that God gave me in my life. My allowance. Am I giving? Am I providing for? You know, the Bible tells a husband to care for his wife, even as God also, or to give for his wife, even as God, for Christ's sake, or I'm misquoting, but Ephesians chapter 5 says we're to care for our spouses even as Christ gave himself for the church. Provide for that family. Hey, if I'm not paying attention like I should, there's a problem. Am I giving to the Lord? Am I giving to the Lord? I'm really honestly, if I'm not careful, I can get caught up in what I always do and not pause sometimes and say, Lord, you need something extra? Is there someone out there that you'd have me to help this week? What would you have from me? How about my affection and my love for the Lord? What has taken me to a place where my love for the Lord and serving him isn't what it should be? I can look at those things and say, you're the culprit. I'm giving you too much attention, too much of everything else in my life. You've got to suffer a little bit. You've got to step back a little bit because I've got to get back where I need to be with the Lord. Got to be where I need to be with him. Hey, draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. Guaranteed promise from the Lord. He said, if you want to be near me, trust me. I want to be near you. It's just step over here. Come back in line with agreement to me. Give attendance to the things that I love and enjoy. Give an allowance. Give as God would have you give. And then find yourself back in love with the Lord. I think those other three lead to love, by the way. I think love feeds the other, and at the same time, those others feed love. I think it's one of those odd things that as I get in agreement with the Lord and I give attendance to the things of the Lord and I give his Lord to have me, all of a sudden my love for the Lord grows. But I also think my love for the Lord makes me want to do those other things, if that makes sense. It's reverse. It kind of reverses itself. To give attendance to those things of the Lord. If you've been saved very long at all, you know what it's like to be here. You know what it's like to be here. And there comes a time in our life when we need to look and say, look at my number one relationship in life and say, where am I at with you, Jesus? If I'm going to live victorious in this life, it's because I'm walking hand in hand with Jesus. Last illustration, I'm done. I love the story of Peter when he walks on the water. It's going to sound, one of the things I love the most about it is really after Peter's failure. You know, when Peter stepped out of the water, he stepped out on faith, everybody else still in the boat, and he follows the Lord. And he looks towards the Lord, he's walking towards the Lord, and then he gets caught up looking at the waves around him, and he sinks, am I right? And then finally he looks back at the Lord and says, Lord, save me, and God reaches down and he grabs his hand. You know, one thing more than I want to be walking to the Lord, I want to be walking hand in hand with the Lord. One advantage that came from Peter's failure was when he came back, he was walking side by side with the Lord. I think it's a little picture of salvation. I'm not in pursuit of God. He's found me. But my relationship, the closeness of him, the walking hand in hand with the Lord, am I drawing nigh to him? Am I walking beside him? Am I in agreement with him? Am I giving attendance to the things of the Lord? Am I giving of my allowance or my finances? Does he have my affection? Let's pray. Lord, I love you.